Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights-on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Be advised. For Pastor Scheidbach, exposing liberal lies and destroying vain philosophies of God-hating, America-despising liberals is like taking candy from a baby. All liberals are hereby cautioned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to rip one or more of your favorite lollipop notions right out of your hand. Uh-oh, too late. A liberal just lost a lollipop. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, my dear friends. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
We all must congratulate Schifrin. I can't pronounce her first name. Malik? Sorry. She won the gold in the woman's slalom. Way to go. USA, USA. Schifrin, with one F, is a Yiddish name, so I wonder. Maybe Schifrin is Jewish? I'm not sure it matters. It's just that, well, America is such a unique place, a melting pot of almost every ethnic group in the world, a place where people with a background of oppression can come to breathe free. And I am saddened today that this melting pot is becoming a, well, is there a kitchen utensil that is used to separate things from one another? You know, I don't know what that would be. A sieve, I guess. We're watching, really, what amounts to the balkanization of America, where rather than various states vying with one another, we have classes and ethnic groups polarized into opposing interest groups that our leaders want to pit against one another to keep the electorate divided and unable to resist their ambitious program to transform America into a socialist dictatorship. I'm coming into a bunch of names I have difficulty pronouncing, so forgive me, but have you heard of the Romik family? They came here from Germany, fleeing persecution. Interested? You know, in Germany, it's against the law to homeschool your own children. This is a Nazi-era law. Remember Hitler? The brown shirts? The Gestapo? That crowd, you know? During the Nazi era, it was made illegal to homeschool your own children. This law continues to be enforced in Germany today. The home of one family was raided by the Polizei. Yeah, there you go. Shades of Anne Frank. Therefore, children were forcibly, and by that I mean the parents were held off at gunpoint while their children were taken from the home for the crime of homeschooling. Ooh, sends shivers down your spine, doesn't it, to think of it? What an atrocity, homeschooling. In a contest over this matter in a German court, in which a certain family there brought suit against this outrage, the Wunderlich family, found that even though the Wunderlich children were, quote, academically proficient, well-adjusted socially, and without educational deficiencies, end quote, language of the court, by the way, that nevertheless, the judge ruled, homeschooling poses a, quote, concrete endangerment, end quote, to the children. The Romik family, or the Romik family, desiring to escape with their children to the land of the free and the home of the brave, you know, where they assume they could live free of this kind of tyranny and educate their children according to their, well, in this case, their Christian beliefs, were quite surprised to find the American government these days totally unsympathetic to their pleas for asylum. Of course, this is the same government that argues that since the Mexicans who come here illegally do so to find a better life for themselves and their families, and that therefore we cannot deport them. I mean, what do you mean to be deporting these people who cross our borders illegally only because they want to find a better life for themselves and for their families, right? All right, so now we know that's just a lie, don't we? We understand what their real motivations are in that regard. We want to extend amnesty to millions of criminals, basically, who violated our laws to come to America, but we want to refuse asylum to a family who came here seeking freedom. Political and personal freedom is no longer the quintessential American value that it once was. Now, it's something called the American dream that we think is worthy of breaking our laws at the borders to get. And that American dream has been reduced To, well, it's been reduced to really, it's been reduced to vote Democrat. That's what the amnesty thing is really all about. And that's true on both sides, by the way. I mean by that, both sides, Dems and Republicans, or Democrats and Republicrats, are playing the illegals as political pawns, each side maneuvering for what political gain they can get from how they play the illegal immigration amnesty game. Bottom line is, the reason Obama has no sympathy for these immigrants is that they are white and Christian. And there it is, folks. How sad, you know? The last time I felt this sadness was when I visited the capital of Ukraine, which is Kiev. And I traveled all over the old Soviet Empire back then. Maybe not all over, but I went from Kiev to Moscow, from Moscow to St. Petersburg, St. Petersburg to Minsk, back to Petersburg, back to Moscow, back to Kiev. And stopped at several smaller cities in between, visited some villages along the way, and it was about a 21-plus day trip. Later, in subsequent trips, visited Smolensk and many other areas, and then finally got to Siberia on one trip, and that one was particularly interesting since I had my son with me on that trip. We had a good time together. But the sadness I feel in my heart right now when I think about this German family who came here aspiring for freedom, not aspiring to get a job allowing them to send money back home, which, well, you know, not aspiring to some liberal utopian idea of American dream, but to something more fundamental, to really the American dream, which was freedom. And then to be here and then realize that America is no longer the place to pursue that dream. In other words, the American dream's been reduced to what? A house with a white picket fence, car, a job, a couple of kids, that kind of thing. And it's no longer freedom and liberty and justice. And on that first trip to Russia, I began that trip in Kiev. I talked to hundreds who told me story after story of what it was like to live under communist Russia's oppression. And they developed a deep resentment against Mother Russia. And I'll never forget, and this happened several times, when Russian Christians would look at me and say, "Where were you? Where were you?" They told me about how they would pray and pray and pray that America would come and save them, and that America would come and deliver them, and that we weren't there for them. And now we're not here for them. We're not here for the people like this family that comes here from Germany seeking asylum from tyranny and oppression. I wasn't at all surprised to see what erupted in Ukraine when their leaders were making overtures toward renewed ties to Moscow. I mean, they just panicked. I saw that anger boiling just under the surface, simmering under the surface back then. I mean, we're talking about the early 90s here, 91, 90, 91. And this that you've seen boiling over and spilling out into the streets and burning the city down, all this, oh my goodness, it's terrible. Well, I saw that on a low boil back there in the early 90s. And I said then to my colleagues that, you know, now that Ukrainians have tasted freedom and got a foothold for it, if they try to bring these people back under Moscow, the people are going to revolt big time. And boy, I sure called that one. What is the American dream today? I listened to one after another oppressed Christian talk about their dream of America. So what is the American dream? You know, today when you hear people talk about the American dream, what do you think of? That's like I said earlier, a house, you know, the white picket fence, you know what I mean, a car, nice neighborhood, decent job, you know what I mean? Wow, we've totally lost sight of the dream of our fathers, Obama. They dreamed of freedom, liberty, and justice. They dreamed of a land where their children could grow up free from oppressive government so they could pursue their own dreams. The idea that the American dream consisted of tangible things is a relatively new development. Our fathers dreamed of freedom, freedom to make their own way. They did not see themselves as kept animals, fed by the keepers, dressed by the keepers, housed by the keepers. Today's idea of the American dream is the dream of a pet dog or pet mice. Yeah, to be kept for service to the masters or to be food for their snakes. I despise your American dream. If you can't think past a house, a car, a full stomach, and a TV to watch, you make me sick. I'm disgusted with this weak generation that needs someone to take care of it without enough sense to realize that it's what you can do with freedom and liberty that counts for something real. The American dream is, alas, but a dream. So wake up, for heaven's sake, you knuckleheads. Hey, don't get all pushed out of shape with me. That's what Michelle called you. Only her point was the exact opposite of mine. She called you knuckleheads because you need government to give you health care. Only she's the knucklehead because you're smart enough to know that what she wants for you young folks to do is pay for their Obamacare program for everybody else. Don't fall for it, kids. I say you're knuckleheads if you don't see that the old American dream of freedom and liberty and justice is more fundamental to your happiness than this new Obama-style American dream of government being the zookeeper and you the animals in their zoo. Which brings me to the conclusion of segment number one. I heard a fellow guesting with Dennis Miller today. Friday. Talking about the rights of nature. I did some investigation into that. No kidding. The UN is pushing the agenda of Gaia, the Gaia movement, claiming that nature has certain unalienable rights. Can you believe that? In direct proportion to you losing your rights, nature is gaining new rights. The more we defy nature, the more we are inclined to deify nature. Think about it. I'll be discussing this in my message Sunday night, so come on out, 6 o'clock, and take it in. You're going to be blown away. Afterwards, we'll have some popcorn together, sit down, and just talk about it. I'll be discussing this some more later in later shows as well, but let me introduce you to this nonsense, because it's coming to a classroom where your children are learning near you soon. Quote, Linda Sheehan, Executive Director of Earth Law Center, spoke at the third interactive dialogue of the United Nations General Assembly on Harmony with Nature on Earth Day, April 22nd, 2013. On this website, that's www.therightofnature.org, you can listen as Linda Sheehan speaks on creating sustainable human communities, the necessary economic systems, and the role of the rights of nature. Along with Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and invited panelists, Ms. Sheehan discussed alternative economic approaches that further a more ethical relationship with the earth. Among her comments, these: recognition of the rights of nature is essential to help us build closer relationships with the environment and correct our, listen, upside-down ordering of earth, humans, and economic system. She thinks it's upside down. I guess she thinks that the humans should be under the earth, but we cannot complete this change, she goes on to say, in perspective solely through rights of nature. We must also specifically reject the current neoliberal economic system and its false assumptions and replace them with alternatives such as those described by ecological economists. Roughly 36 communities, large to tiny, across the United States have taken up this particular cause, with more joining in. Threatened by unwanted destructive activities such as mining and hydrofracking, these communities have passed local laws that recognize the rights of local natural systems to exist, thrive, and evolve. They have rights, you see. Significantly, these laws also reject the rights of corporations who would conduct these harmful activities over the rights of local community members to live in harmony with each other and their environment. That is, these laws support a community's right to nurture its home rather than witness its destruction, end quote. And oh my goodness. The truth is, of course, they're using this rights of nature nonsense to destroy capitalism. That's the target. But they do it by recruiting idiots into thinking that they are saving the planet, which has turned into this nonsense about nature having rights. So while we are losing our natural rights and asserting ourselves in pursuit of activity that is in direct contradiction to nature, a la homosexuality, killing babies in the womb, well, at the same time, we're moving in the direction of elevating nature as having rights of its own, equal to our own, and even subordinating our rights to these alleged rights of nature. And of course, this necessarily leads to subordinating human rights to nature's rights. So this is interesting. From the laws of nature and of nature's God, the Declaration of Independence, our founding, to nature being worshipped as God, which worship involves a direct defiance to nature's laws. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. Anyway, Bible Thump Alert. Genesis 1:28, quote, and God blessed them, that's Adam and Eve, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth, end quote. God put the earth under the dominion of man. But man wants to put himself under the dominion of earth. You know, those who hate God desire to reverse this. They want to put man under the dominion of nature. Huh? The more we defy nature, the more we deify nature. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights-on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment. Compromise of personal preferences or self-interests to serve some higher good is honorable, but some think compromise is the answer to all disagreements. A dispute between two women over who was the mother to a baby was brought to Solomon. He ordered a compromise: have the baby divided and give each mother half. Obviously, some things allow for no acceptable compromise. In those cases, compromise only works to the advantage of evil. For example, instead of obeying the Lord and coming out of an apostate church, you compromise the truth. Why should our children respect our beliefs if we don't? Something to think about. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information. Called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Pastor Scheibach is charging the gates of hell. Don't leave him hanging. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com to make a donation, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Have you ever complained against the White House and the House of Congress for despising our laws, showing contempt for our Constitution, and turning their back on our founding values and beliefs? Does it seem the Lord has forsaken the people's houses? And by the way, how's your house doing? Perhaps there is another house you should think about, the house of God, the church, which according to Jesus is the pillar and ground of the truth. He told us not to forsake the house of God. Have you? How long has it been since your family gathered with God's people in His house? God can fix the White House and the House of Congress and your house too. But remember, He begins with His own house. Every great revival has begun with a return to the house of God. God will return to our houses when we return to His. Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to join us in the house of God this Sunday. Call 805-347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information. Love Him or hate Him, the brain masseur is going to make you think. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheibach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing "The Enemy's on the March," an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. In the last segment, talking about the fact that as we move increasingly forward in defiance of nature, with this idea of killing babies in the womb instead of the natural instinct of protecting and nurturing them, this business of turning our affections over to vile concupiscence, lusts, which involve acts directly in defiance to nature, in contradiction to nature and to nature's God, homosexuality, and so on, we are beginning to be drawn into subjection to nature. Isn't that interesting? God commanded us to subdue nature. But as we yield to sin nature, we're coming more and more into bondage to nature and being given over to it. And I spoke of the fact that people with significant political power in this world are now talking seriously about reversing the order so that human rights are made to be subservient to the so-called rights of nature. Well, consider this. Proof positive that liberals are dumb as foxes pervades the news today. But really, get a load of this. Obama wants to put monitors in newsrooms to keep an eye on what the news reporters decide to report and what they don't. The government wants to monitor the dissemination of news. Last May, the FCC proposed an initiative called the Critical Information Needs, the CIN, and they plan to send spies. Okay, they don't call them spies. Snoops Okay, that's not their word either. Brown shirts? Gestapo. How about Obama thugs? Yeah. But of course, they call them researchers to, quote, grill, end quote, as one FCC insider put it, quote, reporters, editors, and station owners about how they decide what stories they decide to run, end quote. And this is the business of government since when? Of course it is, under Obama. I read that from a recent poll, and I forget which one. It's one we hear about often. I just forget the name of it. Pew poll. Anyway, 71% of those who voted for Obama in the last election regret it today. Well, that's because it's relatively safe to admit it and to regret it now, you see. But if he had a chance to go for a third term, I believe the same people who were intimidated into voting for him because of the color of his skin would fall prey to the same. Yeah, I believe that Obama could run for a third term. I think he'd likely win. Mostly because, not because of his performance, but two things. One, because of people's intimidation about his race. And then two, and mostly, because of Weasley Republicans would likely not put someone up against him who could actually win. So anyway, he's sending the FCC out to intimidate newsrooms, signaling them that Obama's watching. And the liberal press is applauding this? They're welcoming this? And at the same time, Obama is using the IRS to intimidate conservative groups. Oh, yeah, they fired a gal. Actually, they gave her a promotion from that. Anyway, but everyone watching this is saying that Obama's game plan to use the IRS to stifle free speech is moving forward with increased vigor. As you know, Obama looked into this carefully, did he not? And his injustice department decreed that there's no substance to the allegation that the IRS targeted various Tea Party groups and other conservative groups for extra scrutiny when applying for tax-exempt status. What's that, 501c4 or something like that? Not one of those. Anyway, you've heard the stories. Intimidation, excessive delays, inappropriate questionnaires, extraordinary scrutiny, and it was all discovered to be true. And we find that an internal directive specified that key words like patriot, Tea Party, and so forth should trigger this extraordinary scrutiny. But, you know, Obama appointed a campaign donor to his campaign to look into this, of course, and Holder received his report, and there's no problem. There's nothing wrong here. Obamatics, politics Obama style. Yeah. You think Nixon or Bush or anybody else would have gotten away with something like this? Appoint your own friend? Anyway, so Obama appoints his supporter to investigate the IRS persecution of conservatives, who then finds that there is no problem here. Everything's fine. Everything's kosher. Meanwhile, Obama's minions at the IRS continue finding ways and means to frustrate conservatives and stifle conservative voice in this country. This from a Heritage report called The Foundry. Quote, sure, a high-level IRS official left after the scandal erupted last year about the agency targeting conservative groups, but what good did it do? IRS officials admitted that groups with conservative leanings, especially with the words Tea Party or Patriot in their names, had been targeted for special scrutiny, asked for inappropriate information, and had their applications for nonprofit status delayed on purpose. Now it's coming out that nothing is changing. And in fact, the Obama administration has been pursuing a stiffer crackdown all along. Nowadays, instead of trying to correct its internal bias and problems, the IRS is apparently trying to double down and stifle the political activity of opponents of the Obama administration and its policies, says Heritage Hans von Spakovsky. And he explains, it appears that the administration not only tried to delay and prevent conservative organizations from receiving their tax-exempt status prior to the 2012 election, but was also already planning new regulations that would stifle their political speech and potential criticism of the administration subsequent to the elections. Now, organizations on both the left and the right have warned that the proposed rules would be harmful to their communications with members and the public. So instead of serious investigations and consequences, we find out that the IRS was carrying out the will of the Obama administration. This is the key. And woe be unto those who try to go against it. Their stories are disturbing. Catherine Engelbrecht testified that after filing for nonprofit status for two groups that she was launching, she says, quote, my private businesses, my nonprofit organizations, and family have been subjected to more than 15 instances of audit or inquiry by federal agencies, end quote. Now, Kevin Kukaji, a Heritage member who founded Lynchpins of Liberty, told us about his run-ins with the IRS. His organization is focused on mentoring high school and college students in conservative philosophy. Okay. Well, after his application for tax-exempt educational status was delayed, he received 95 questions from the IRS, including queries about the identities of everyone connected with the organization and its leaders' political views. Can you believe this? He later learned that his group was one of hundreds in the same boat. Quote, a lot of people were afraid, he said, that if they started fighting the government, they were going to be attacked, end quote, he said. And, quote, this has manifested itself. We know that it's become true that people have indeed been attacked by the IRS for taking on this case, end quote. Now, Von Spaskowski agrees, quote, what is clear from these hearings and the other evidence that has surfaced over the past 8 months is that the First Amendment rights of Americans are under assault, end quote. The First Amendment under assault. Yeah. Second Amendment, First Amendment, they're going to get them all. Obamatics, using government to destroy the constitutional liberties of the people. So he wants to monitor newsrooms to make certain they are reporting on the news that is, in his opinion, critical to the people. Do you believe that? The government decides what is critical for you to know? The government? Liberals support this? Progressives are laying down for this? You've got to, wait a minute. Of course they are. Because Obama will be helping them. These liberals that support this nonsense know full well that it's going to be Fox and and guys like moi and others who will be the target of Obama's newsroom Gestapos, and they are cheering him on, not realizing all the while they're feeding the crocodile that's going to turn around and eat their young. Dumb like a fox being chased by a pack of hellish hounds intent on treeing it. Wonder how long it'll be before Obama will be wearing a foxtail hat. I think maybe he already wears one. Soros owns the left-hand media, and as history shows, the super rich know how to manipulate buying government to become their servant to oppress the people. Obamatics. That's the politics of using government power to destroy the liberties of the people. Well, folks, I've got to go. See me Sunday night. I'll be talking about the truth that the more we defy nature, the more we are inclined to deify it. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. And now you let me know that you see that they are on. Say lights on if you see the lights are on. You'll ride like Revere and spread the warning loud and clear. That means you agree with what I'm saying. You'll share the show with others. Or lights off if you disagree. Love to hear from my audience. Lights on or lights off. What will it be today, I wonder? Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me on my listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States. From outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website at thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. You'll see on the right-hand column a place to indicate lights on or lights off, and then a place to write me as long a message as you like. If you're in a hurry, give me a lights on or lights off and then hang up. Or if you go to the website, you can click lights on or lights off and say send. But if you will, please leave a message for me. I'd love to hear from you, positive or negative. Either way, God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church. Be sure to be with me Sunday night, 6 p.m. I'll be speaking on the truth that as we as a people defy nature, we end up deifying nature. Afterwards, we'll have some popcorn, just kicking around a little bit. Look forward to seeing you.
Every corruption we see in our houses of government began in our houses of worship. Christians began departing from the founders of our faith and ignoring God's laws long before our politicians began departing from our founders and ignoring the laws of our land. Revival must begin in the house of God with a return to the old paths. Lighthouse Baptist Church invites you to join us on the old path. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain.